Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
First thing I want to come to is fame and the price of fame. And, you know, fame, it does come at a cost. And I don't know if, you know, if you're in the limelight, do you sacrifice privacy and choices? I mean, fame comes at a price, or sell your soul to the devil. There are phrases we hear all the time about how much celebrities really have to sacrifice for success. Now, the new Boyzone documentary, which I watched on Sky, has reignited the debate about the intense pressures of fame. From the lack of privacy to personal choices, stars feel they no longer are in control of their own bodies and autonomy and everything else. And members of Boyzone who spoke out about the lies spread by their manager, Louis Walsh, whilst they were in the band and how it affected them, all to get publicity, of course. But was Louis just doing a damn good job of getting publicity for what was essentially a machine? That's what it is. It's just a machine. It's a business. So, I mean, there was one story Louis put out that they were all involved in a plane crash. They weren't involved in a plane crash, but he put it out anyway. So the countless people were worried about them. Samantha Mumba has spoken out today saying that he was a great manager and got things done, and that he was certainly responsible for her success. Now, she had obviously limited success for a very short period of time. Britney Spears, in her memoir, The Woman Me, detailed how she felt trapped by industry expectations and lost control of her own life. Now, we all know that Britney, of course, has had other problems too. Robbie Williams has openly discussed the toll fame has taken on his mental health, while stars like Prince Harry, Pamela Anderson, have used documentaries to reclaim their narratives, exposing just how much they had to give up along the way. But is this just the price of stardom? Or should we rethink the way we treat celebrities? Do they owe the public unlimited access? Or should we respect their right to privacy despite their success? We want to hear from you tonight. See, here's the way I look at it. If you're extremely famous and the general public are paying your wages, take Bono, for example, although most people don't bother him. They couldn't be bothered. But anyway, just take Bono, right? We're paying his wages. We buy his albums. We go to his gigs. You know, we go to the U2 gigs. We buy their merchandise where they make a lot of money. You know, we're paying for them. So we're entitled to a piece of them, aren't we? To some degree. Am I wrong in thinking that? When you step in, and when I watched the Boyzone documentary, there was part of me thinking, you know, they kind of felt captured, I suppose, in this band where they were being kind of used to some degree. But mind you, making a lot of money, particularly with their comeback tours and everything else. But at any stage, my thinking during it, when they were kind of playing the victim, and I thought they were playing the victim a little bit, apart from the story about Steo, which is so sad. But my thinking throughout the whole thing was, if you don't like it, stop, get out of it, leave the band. If that's not what you want, go off and be a mechanic. Working pennies. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? If that's not what you want, if you got into something and that's not really what you want your privacy, you want to be able to walk down the street without girls running around you, flocking around you, or you don't want to be going on tour every single day. They were going, oh, like it was so hard. We were going on tour every single day and in the back of a bus living. And I'm going, but that's what you wanted. You joined a boy band. You wanted success and fame. You got it. And now you're whining about it. Maybe, am I taking this up wrong? So I want to know what you think. Do celebrities deserve privacy? Now, I'm not talking about when they're in their own home. Obviously, when they're in their own home, of course, they deserve privacy. But when they're in the public or in the limelight, do they deserve privacy? Or is that the sacrifice you make for being a celebrity? Let me first of all go to Alan. By the way, the number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Just send us a WhatsApp if you want to get involved in this conversation. Alan, hi, how are you?
Hey, Niall, how are you?
Good. Alan, I watched the Boyzone documentary, and it was a great documentary, and there was part of me felt sorry for the lads, you know, and what they went through. It was a difficult time, and I'm sure it is, you know, particularly when they're very young. I mean, they were in their early 20s, right? But in saying that, that's the price of fame, isn't it?
See, Niall, there was a famous line by a great comic genius, and he said, fame is the excrement of success.
Mm.
And when you're famous, you're known by everyone, but you lose touch with yourself, and you become a product. And you become very disillusioned with it, because it's not real, it's a fantasy. And usually young people like Boyzone, I only watched a bit of the Boyzone documentary, but they get into that whole thing, like the Late Late Show famous incident.
Yeah.
And all they had to offer was a product, and they were exploited by, you know, the manager. He exploited them to the worst degree.
This word, I was talking to AJ about this today, right? He exploited Louis Walsh. So you're saying that Louis Walsh or Simco, in the case of Simon Cowell, who, you know, has a lot of these type of bands as well, or in the old days it was, what was the name of the tree? Pete Waterman. Waterman something and something.
Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Stock Aitken and Waterman, that's it. Okay, they were responsible for Jason Donovan, Kylie Minogue, Rick Astley, all these big acts at the time. But you're saying they exploit them. Yeah, they make money out of them because that's what they do.
Yeah,
but hold on. Exploitation is consensual. You don't have to be exploited. At any stage, you know, Ronan Keating or Shane Lynch or Mikey Graham or Steo or any of them, they could have just, or Keith Duffy, they could have just walked away and said, I don't want to be part of this anymore.
Yeah, I know that's easier said than done now, because when you're that young and you're caught up in the limelight, you are attracted to the initial stages of fame. But it becomes laborious, and, like, I can only speak for my 15 minutes of fame when I got over the media. And I actually felt very shocked by all the press outside me window, and it was horrible.
So when
down for nearly 8 weeks.
I was going to say that. So when you did that, for people who don't know, you exploded on the front line, right? And had to go with Pat Kenny, yada yada yada, and it was all over YouTube. It was probably one of our first viral videos in this country. But anyway, I mean, were people noticing you on the streets? Did people recognise you?
Every day, Niall. Dads would stop me. Police would stop me. People on the bus stops, people were paying, give me money. People were putting 20 quid into me pocket saying, well done. And I'd be saying, will this ever stop? And I paid a high price for that because it went on for longer than I thought.
And, yeah, but when you say you paid a high price, you've admitted to me before that you're bipolar, Alan, right?
Yeah, so, I know. And yeah. That was the thing, Niall. I was high when I was on the late age, or on the front line. I was manic, and I didn't know the full cost of that until it kept going on for weeks.
It was good, in fairness. It was good. People, by the way, if anyone wants to search, go on to YouTube, put in Pat Kenny, heckled, frontline.
You don't have to remind them.
Go on.
But no, I think with fame, Niall, it's an antidote to fame is knowing yourself. And if you don't know yourself going into the fame world, you lose touch with your true self, and it can become very sad.
Yeah, but hold on. I saw Elton John, probably one of the richest people, richest celebrities around, right? And now he's not very well at the moment. The man can barely walk,
he's
right?
He's very sick, yeah.
Yeah, but he was being helped into his house or whatever it was, and out of his car, and some guy, a fan, whatever, said, hi, and he actually was very polite. He said, hi, Sir Elton. Sir Elton. He called him Sir Elton, right? And Elton just looked at him and just said, go away. And your man said,
I know, it's very bad.
And as he stepped over the little kind of step into the door, he turned around, he said to the guy, why don't you go away and die? And I'm going, what an awful, horrible thing to say to somebody who's just an adoring fan.
That's the other extreme of fame. He actually doesn't know himself. He's just an egocentric fuck. To talk to someone like that who's been polite is a horrible thing to do.
Mm.
And I would not like to be in the rat race of fame and fortune. I would not. I wouldn't
but
like
But do they deserve privacy? Because the likes of Elton John and the other people like him will argue, I should be able to get out of my car, walk into my house without somebody saying, hi, Elton, can I have your autograph?
Yes, that's another extreme of the question we're asking. He has to show a bit of decorum when someone who's just been nice to him is saying, like you're famous in your own way as well, now,
infamous.
Yeah. So when you're out in the street and someone's like, hi, Niall, or how are you, Niall? Great to see you. If you were to be arrogant and say, I wish these fucks would ever stop saying hello to you out in the middle of nowhere, people would realise that you're an empty vessel and you're not genuine. But when you're genuine, and you take along the fame with you. You allow it to build you. And it's the managers and the Simon Cowell and you know, the manager of Boyzone. What's his name again?
Louis Walsh.
Louis Walsh. They exploited Fame.
Yeah, but you use the word exploited very loosely. Hold on. They're a business. That's their job. That's how they make money.
But Niall, then they got into a helicopter or a plane crash and all, and making up stories.
But that's what they do. That's what Simon Cowell, that's what Louis Walsh. But hang on. That's what all of these PR agencies do. They make up stories that are completely untrue just to keep them in the paper.
They took it to an extreme of nasty self-promotion.
Mm.
And it's not good, now. That's not a good way to behave. There's a proper way of making fame. And then there's the cheap end, the tabloid end.
Well, do me a favour, stay there a second, because I want to go to Declan as well. Declan, hi, how are you doing?
Hey, Niall, how are you?
Good. Declan, do you deserve privacy when you're famous? Apart from in your own home, obviously.
To an extent, yes, you do, because your home is your sanctuary, right?
Yeah, well, in your home, I agree. People shouldn't be peering through your window around like that.
These people are fucking mansions, though, you know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, high walls and security guards and cameras and everything. So they're kind of in gated communities, and most for the vast majority. And you would swear these, like Boyzone was kidnapped by Louis Walsh, so what they're going on. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, first of all, Ronan Keating owes the nation a national apology for butchering fucking Fairy Tale New York, right? We owe that apology.
By the way, he also butchered father and son too. Can I point out he also butchered father and son as well?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah.
But to be fair to Ronan, I was actually at a private event, a very swish event, and he was booked to play at this event. Honest to God, Riverdance, the whole kit and caboodle. And he was actually very good live. Now, I did have...
I'm not a fan of Ronan Keating, but there's no doubt he's a talented man.
I'm not a fan either. Now, to be fair, look, he's kind of a bit... they're all chancers at the end of the day. You know what I mean? They went... Do you remember the Late Late Show? Gay Byrne, and they were there. And they were dancing. They were like male strippers, right? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they became millionaires, though, I think, in the end, didn't they? They kind of, you know, they put up with it. Now, Louis Walsh, I wouldn't be a big fan of Louis Walsh, like, you know what I mean? But, I mean, anybody aside from Samantha Mumba, I don't think is a good word to say about Louis Walsh, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Without...
I don't think any artist ever has a good word to say about their publicist and manager when they finish up with them, because they feel they've been exploited, they feel they've been hard done by, they feel they got too much money out of them, etc. So that's neither here nor there. But hang on, leave Boyzone aside for the moment. Generally speaking, if you're a Hollywood star, or if you're a famous singer, or, you know, and you reach the pinnacle of fame, Robbie Williams, these type of people, do they have a right to come out afterwards and say, oh, you know, when you're famous, you have to sacrifice your privacy, and it's awful and it's terrible and all that kind of... Do they have a right to say that?
And they don't. Do you know why? I'll tell you now, right? Because if you buy a concert ticket today, they're the ones that's fucking practically riding the system here. Do you know what I mean? They're charging an absolute fortune now to go and hear them play. And... You know, you'd expect to meet and greet, you know, for the price of the ticket. Never not.
you'd expect a night out with them for dinner.
That you're going to pay. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I won't even go into detail, but I'll be perfectly honest about it. I think they don't, because you have to be a certain kind of narcissist to be, like, years ago, right? We all wanted to be rich, famous, and good-looking. I became one of three. I became good-looking. I didn't become rich.
Look at you, Declan.
I know.
Yeah, Alan feels the same way, yeah.
My wife, I'm not good-looking, but I can fake it, you know. But all jokes aside, Niall, no, I don't think they do. Because, like, they have no qualms whatsoever about charging likes me and you 200 or 300. Now, I wouldn't go and see Stevie Nicks for 250. I don't know what she was charging. I mean, they should know better. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, right, the newer artists that's upcoming, they're like, where would they be without autotune? Like, they don't even write their material, they don't even play an instrument.
Yeah, no, I know, I agree. Look, they're very different to the artists of the 70s and 80s. There's no shadow of a doubt about that. But this whole idea that I never heard people say, like, Freddie Mercury or Mick Jagger or David Bowie or... I never heard any of them whining about losing their privacy or sacrificing their privacy. It just seems to be artists of today that are whining about this idea of exploitation. They were all, I mean, you take Queen, for example. They were exploited by their first manager for the first 5 years of their careers. You know, he took a fortune. He robbed them, basically. So they wrote a song about him, Death on Two Legs, which is on the Night of the Opera, I think. Or could be on a Day of the Races, I'm not too sure. But I mean, they wrote a song about him. It was so bad. They called him Death on Two Legs. So exploitation within artists is not new. There's nothing wrong. You know, well, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with it. But if you don't want to be exploited, if you're in a band and you feel you're being exploited, walk away.
But see, what generally happens at the start, right, you're craving that, right? So you'll sign your, you don't, as you said yourself earlier on, you'll sell your soul to the devil to get where you think you're going to get to at some stage. And what happens is, when they find out then, you know, like they have the remorse, like the manager takes 30% or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Or if they're not making as much money as they used to and their own kind of reserves are running dry, then the bitterness comes out. And then, you'll hear the legal wrangles and they want this and they want that, or there's a big lawsuit against her and then they want out of the contract. But realistically, I mean, Queen were a very talented band. Like, without a doubt, they were one of the, Freddie Mercury was a phenomenal entertainer. I mean, he was right up there with Elvis in my book.
You absolutely. Know what I mean? Absolutely.
Genuinely, you know, yeah. He's a legend. But I haven't seen the documentary actually about Boyzone.
Don't get me wrong. It's a really good documentary. And the part about Stephen is really sad when Stephen died. I mean, all of that stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's very well worth watching. It's a 3-part documentary on Sky. It's called No Matter What. It's well worth watching. But I did get the impression throughout it that they were all kind of playing the victim. You know what I mean? They felt like they were a victim of success. And I'm going, well, hold on, you benefited greatly from success because all your wallets are heavy. You know what I mean?
Well, I read somewhere it was co-produced by Ronan Keating, and he has an axe to grind against Louis Walsh. So,
well, he clearly does, yeah.
So, you know, there was a bias there. You know, and to be perfectly honest, I think Louis at this stage, I don't think we'll ever manage another band again.
Well, I think, with respect, I think Louis is unwell at the moment. Yeah, and you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his autumn years now. And
yeah.
I mean, what's done is done. Like, you know, life is too short. You know, I mean, the boys became successful. They became
famous. One of the most successful boy bands in the world.
Where was Mikey Graham? Like, why wasn't he at the premiere? Are they all still not talking or what?
No, Mikey hasn't. Mikey is not involved anymore. Now, he was in the documentary briefly just to interview from his own home. But he seems to have the biggest axe to grind against the whole thing, against the whole machine, so to speak, for his own reasons, his own personal reasons, and is not interested. Look, they did ask him at the end, would he come back for a reunion tour? And he wasn't ruling it out. So I'm pretty sure he would do it probably for the money. They would all do it for the money.
Well, there's more money now in touring than there is in record sales. You know, like Magna from AHA, you know, the keyboard player, right?
He
said years ago they would release an album and go on tour to promote the album. Now they release an album to promote the tour. Do you know what I mean? Because there's more money now in touring.
Yeah, because there's no money in albums anymore because it's all on Spotify. Alan Declan, hold on. I have to go into a break. Joanna, I'll be with you straight after the break. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. We're talking about the price of fame. And do celebrities have the right to whine and whinge about exploitation, about not having any privacy and not being able to walk down the road without being, you know, people running up and asking for autographs and selfies and all sorts of things? Do they have the right to give out about that? Well, after all, you're paying for it, aren't you? Just before I go to Joanna, Alan, I listened to your argument at the start, and Declan was quite clear about his, that, you know, that's the price of fame. I didn't get the impression from you, I kind of got the impression you're kind of sitting on the fence. Do you believe that is the price of fame, Alan? That sacrifice?
And I think just commenting on, I know you are wanting to move away from the bison, but we're using that as a reference.
Mm.
Just look at Mikey Graham and how sad his life has turned out.
I don't think his life has turned out too sad.
He doesn't look very healthy.
That's your view of it. Maybe he feels very healthy. But here's the point. The thing about it is, Mikey has his own reasons, and I'm not too sure exactly what they are, you know, for not wanting to be part of all of the fame and fortune of it now. But then again, as I did say at the end of the interview, they did ask him, would he be interested in a reunion? And he didn't rule it out.
Well, so, in fairness, Niall, Mikey Graham wasn't a really big part of Bison.
Well, maybe he should have been a bigger part. He's a very talented guy. He's a good singer. He's a songwriter. And he actually plays an instrument.
Anything except, there was only two singers in Bison.
That's right.
Stephen Gately and then
Ronan Keating. The rest are all passengers and just look good. I get that. But here, Mikey Graham, at the start, if you watch the documentary, it mentions that he was chosen at one stage to be the best singer of the band. Now, he was dropped a few months in. But also, apart from that, he was the only one that had any musical talent. He was a songwriter and he could play the guitar.
Well, I just see that this fast food fame, this fast food fame, and then this long-term fame, like the man Anthony Hopkins, the actor.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. He's been in famous movies. He can go anywhere without being harassed because he's got quality and standard that most of these Boyzone type musicians are just fast food. It's Instagram.
Well, I'm sure, yeah, but I'm sure when he's walking down the street, or any Hollywood star, when they're walking down the street, people come up to them and say, listen, can I have a quick selfie, or can you sign an autograph?
Well,
or,
yeah, I know that, but it wouldn't be as, like...
Not as intense, no. No, you're not going to have the mania.
The whole thing about fame is if you go into the fame game without knowing yourself, you lose yourself.
Do me a favour, stay there for a second, because I want to go to Joanna as well. Joanna, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you now?
Sorry keeping you so long, Joanna. Joanna, I want to just generalise it. I mean, the reason I mentioned Boyzone, obviously, because the documentary's out at the moment. But, you know, the price of fame, do you think they have a right to complain about it?
Well, I think if you're going to live that kind of life, you have to expect, you know, some force coming back at you. I really do. Yeah, I do. No, everyone deserves privacy. Absolutely. Like, I don't believe in anyone coming to your home and like that.
Oh, no, I agree with that, of course.
Know,
yeah.
Stalking
yeah.
you, stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
No, I'm talking
that.
About when you're I in public. I'm talking about when you're in public.
Yeah, well, you can be polite if you want to be, but at the same time, if you're having a bad day, you can just say, get lost. Yeah, you know.
But if you're super famous, Joanna, you can't just go out to a restaurant or a bar for, you know, a quiet drink with your mate.
Oh, sure. Look at Elvis Presley. He used to have to actually rent a cinema just to go and watch.
Yeah, the same as Michael Jackson used to have to wear disguises and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
I do you know something? I wouldn't want that sort of life. All that money, all that fame. I think I'd rather have a normal life.
I like the money, by the way.
You know. Well, what good is the money to you if you can't actually walk out in the street and enjoy it? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'd like a decent amount of money just to live on. And I wouldn't like to have to think like, oh, my God, I want to go to the cinema, but I'm going to have to hire it out. I don't really want to walk down the street unless I'm disguised. You know all that? I wouldn't like that. No way. Absolutely, because I like saying hello to people and.
But
how
you,
are
yeah,
you?
But you can be famous and say hello to people too. It's just a different type of hello. It's they want to say hello to you and they want your autograph and they want to take a picture of you.
I'd like people to like me just for me and not for how much money I have in the account.
Well, most artists are liked for them, but they're liked for their singing qualities or their dancing qualities or whatever it is
and
they're famous for.
And they do have qualities, absolutely.
Some
I
of them
agree.
Do,
man.
Some of them do. Some of them don't.
No, but I'm just, I just think if you're going to put yourself right out there and you're walking the red carpet, everything else, well, you have to take what's coming.
That's part of it, is what you're saying.
You don't have a private life anymore. Look at Princess Diana, for example. That wasn't her fault, I suppose.
But she was probably one of the first, well, leaving aside the Beatles and all that kind of stuff, she was the first non-singer celebrity to experience that kind of mania. She couldn't go anywhere without being mobbed, essentially.
Yeah, but you know something, and I don't mean to sound bad, but she did pose for the camera sometime, like even when she didn't
want to Well, it suited her. Yeah.
You know, the way she had her lovely eyes and she kind of looked up. She knew what she was doing too. And a lot of people do that. And
She played to her quality. She played her qualities very well. Stay there, Joanna. Let me just go to Sharon. I'm going to come to Des then. Sharon, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall.
How are you doing? Sharon, you heard Joanna. She'd love the money, but she wouldn't want the fame.
Wouldn't we all? But like that when you go to be famous, all these TikTokers, they want to be famous. You know the price of fame. You're not going to have a private life. You become public. You know the public
ownership, so to speak.
Yeah, you know exactly what you're getting into. Not probably not to the extent of it, but you know the people go crazy for fame, and when they get it, then it's like, oh shit, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, leave me alone. Yeah, it's a bit late for that now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, again, I don't agree with going up to someone's house and stuff like that. But
no, of course not.
Have, like,
yeah.
psychos and stuff out there and stalkers.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, your own house, your own home should be, or if you're staying in a hotel to some degree, should have a level of privacy. But when you're in the general public, if you're in the public or in a public park or you're in a bar or you're in a nightclub or whatever restaurant, people are going to come over to you and say, can I have an autograph? Can I have a selfie? And I know I'm sure it's really annoying for people, but
you know, these people are paying that money in your pocket. They paid for your records. They paid for your tickets. You know,
yeah, you wouldn't be eating the meal in the restaurant if it wasn't for those people.
Yeah, well, it's the price of fame, isn't it?
Mm, yeah. Do you feel sorry for them? Because, you know, a lot of them, these artists, they claim, like Robbie Williams and a few others who have, you know, come out and said this more recently, and indeed in the Boys' Own documentary, they kind of paint themselves as victims of being exploited by a machine. Yeah. Do you feel sorry for them?
Yeah. Well, the one I would really, really feel sorry for would have been Britney Spears.
Mm. But she had her own mental health issues, yeah.
Yeah, but she had mental health issues. She still does, as far as I can see. But they really, her father, her family, the music industry, like they abused her. And, you know, she should have been left alone. Do you remember when she was going through she had postnatal depression?
Oh, yes, she shaved her head and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, all crazy stuff.
Like,
yeah.
they were relentless. They wouldn't leave her alone. And, you know...
But I don't think she ever knew what a normal life was, because, of course, before she was famous with Hit Me Baby One More Time, which was her first big single... She was
in
Disney, wasn't she? She was a Disney star.
Oh, she was, yeah, she was.
With Justin Timberlake and the other one, what's her name?
Yeah. Christina Aguilera,
yeah.
Yeah, but the same as Michael Jackson, though, as well. He was famous since he was five or six, was it, with the Jackson 5?
So yeah, and that kind of has to mess with your head a little bit, and I kind of get all of that. But again, as I was watching the kind of Boyzone thing, and I hear them, and I, you know, don't get me wrong, I did empathise with their situation. But I'm saying, if you didn't want it and you didn't like it and you weren't happy touring every day and you weren't happy with thousands of girls running up to you in the street and you weren't happy with all of that, so walk away.
But that's what they went in for in the first place.
Well, you would think they would have known that, yeah. Even at a young age.
Do you remember the X Factor?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they'd be coming into the audition and, you know, what do you want? I want fame. I want money. I want people to know my name. Well, here you go. Here it is. And no, I don't want it anymore. I don't want it.
I've had enough of
it. But you're already after. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of, again...
Do we own them? I mean, are they public? So essentially what you're saying to me is, if you're a Hollywood star or a big musician and you're making millions and you're really famous, you're basically, you're publicly owned.
Yeah, I suppose in a sense. It's not a very nice thing to... It's not the best words, but yeah, you are. Like, that's...
Mm. Declan, are you public property, essentially, to some degree?
You are and you aren't, right? I think the problem with celebrities now is everybody has a smartphone. Everybody can record and take photographs, and they're looking for selfies, and there's more kind of a demand for your time. Not that I'm a celebrity, I'm just saying, in the psyche of the celebrity world, I would imagine... And they want it on their terms, right? Because, you know, they have all these makeup artists and they have these, you know, people that put them together, right? And then there's the kind of cyber world where they showcase their official kind of publications. And then they don't want the fan taking them at their worst, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And the kind of, you have that element of it as well. You know, I was actually down in Saudi Arabia at an event, and Jared Butler was staying in the same hotel as me. And there was people in my company saying, Jared Butler's here. I couldn't give a fuck. I mean, honest to God, I didn't even know who he was. He's an actor.
He's a Scottish actor, yeah. I like him. He thinks he's good, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's pretty cool. Like, but I mean, today's celebrities, I'm out of touch with reality. I passed 50 now, I'm 53, so I'm more kind of 70s, 80s kind of celebrities. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't know today's celebrities as such.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't know all the kind of young singers and everything. Sharon, Declan, hang on for a second. Let me go to Dez as well. Dez, hi, how are you?
Niall, how's it going?
How you doing, Dez? The price of fame. Do you lose your... Is that the sacrifice you make?
Yeah, I think, thank God, the likes of Freddie Mercury and David Bowie and the others from the 70s and the 80s didn't have the same kind of feeling that they weren't sure about fame, because we wouldn't have had that talent. We wouldn't have been able to have had the pleasure of listening to them groups. But I think their music was raw. It came from the bone. Like, they got a band together. They played in bars.
Yeah, they were musicians. Yeah.
They were musicians and they were very talented. Although in this day and age, the music is the same kind of, you know, celebrity, but all that. But the machine is different now than it was years ago in producing it. And, you know, the pressure now of putting a boy band together and basically none of them can sing or do anything to do with music. And it's all
they look
spoon
good.
Fed, isn't
yeah.
it? And there is a, okay, I say, you know, Gary Barlow was a very good songwriter and musician. But there's only a small few that you could pick out of all of the boy bands that would actually probably would have been better off starting off on their own from where the likes of the old artists would have came from and hit the bars and made it big and got a lucky break or whatever. But they weren't handmade or produced kind of from a company that wanted to just make millions. And then the pressure was on to get the next band and the next band. And it just didn't stop. And then you had the likes of the televisions getting involved with the different shows and all. And the pressure was just ridiculous. But I tell you, Niall, I watched 5 minutes of the Boyzone documentary the other night and I turned it off. If I even watched 5 minutes, I might have watched only...
And why did you turn it off? Why did you turn it off? What was it
I turned it off because I had watched the trailer and then I put it on and the start of it, listening and looking at Ron and Keith and crying and then listening to their manufactured accents, I couldn't say, I can't, I wouldn't have been able to watch that program.
No, I think Ronan was crying. That clip in the trailer was obviously because he was talking about Stephen Gately.
He started off at the start where he's crying and you know, their accents are manufactured from years of wealth or whatever. But they all realise, there's a couple of lads maybe are struggling and we've got to get a few quid in here and we've got to get a documentary out there. And then obviously,
and then the comeback tour.
Yeah. There's going to be a comeback tour and it's, I have no sympathy whatsoever. And if you look at it, the overall picture of celebrities, some celebrities are very cute in how they deal with the stardom. You won't see George Clooney getting plastered all over the papers every day. He puts his celebrity to very good use in America, and you don't see the likes of that. It's the likes of the younger people that maybe haven't been given good managers or been responsible, not being able to deal with it. And okay, it's very easy then to have a few take drugs or whatever it is. But I personally feel that the machine now is a lot different than what it was years ago, because the artists years ago, they were raw, they were very talented and they wanted to sing.
Yeah, a lot of the artists nowadays, if they didn't have good publicists and managers, they would never make it. Whereas, never, you know, you're like the likes of the David Bowies, the Queens, all those, they took a long time to get where they were, but it was true pure talent. Yeah.
They knew they were good and they didn't put fame in front of the dude. They wanted to sing. Like,
well, I'm sure they wanted to be famous too. You know, Queen and Dave Bowie
absolutely.
And Stones and AC/DC and all those.
But I don't think it was like what you see now.
No, of course, not manufactured. Yeah, it's not manufactured.
Yeah, they're manufactured. And I do think that's caused an awful lot of it. But they're not cute enough. Like, they're not cute enough. They go out of their way, I think, to get the fame and then they don't like it. So, you know, as Elvis sang one time, it's your baby, you rock it.
Do me a favour, stay there for a second, Des, because I want to come to Wade and Sharon after the break. Thank you, Declan, by the way. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. Wade and Sharon, stay there. And Des, I'll come back to you as well after. Stay with me, Des, if you can. Let me go to Wade. Wade, hi, how are you?
Hey, now, how's it going, man?
Good. Wade, you heard what Des said. You know what I mean? Look, they're manufactured bands. They know what they're getting into. Well, you'd want to be stupid not to know what you're getting into. And then to claim to be a victim afterwards. Ah, stop. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, I think how do you even describe it? It's not like you can't exactly get pity or act shocked as to the life that you get when you take the famous route or celebrity route, given you have so many examples before you. I will definitely say though that you, on your point where you say public property, I don't really think you are public property in a sense. I mean, I think you're as much public property as you let yourself to be.
But the fans own you, don't they? Because they're paying your wages.
Yeah, they're paying you wages, but it doesn't mean that they have to be all in your business. And you
no, I'm not saying that, but you owe them something. You certainly don't owe them, you know, piss off when you're walking down the street and one of them says going to have a selfie. You don't owe them that. You owe them a level of politeness. And that's just the cost of being famous, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You owe them a level of politeness as per being a normal, they're genuinely decent human being, if that's what you are. But I don't think you're expected to be that all the time, because you're also just a human being like everybody else. And if you're having a bad day, you, like a regular person is having a bad day, and you express that, unfortunately, the wrong way, then you're also very much so free to. And I don't think, unfortunately, though, you're going to be put under a different light just because you're famous.
Yeah.
But that's where I think...
What about the exploitation? What about the exploitation? You know, you've had numerous celebrities come out now over the last week, in particular, after the Boys on documentary, including Robbie Williams, and they talk about exploitation. You know, you're exploited by publicists, by managers... but the public, you're exploited in general because you're famous and you know, everybody wants a piece of you. But isn't that all part of the gig too? I mean, if you don't want to be exploited in that sense, just walk away, get out of the band. So, is that not the answer?
It is part of the gig. I mean, I don't think it has to go as far as walking away. But I did think it just takes a lot more critical discernment. Like you can't approach things the same way as you probably would. In at different stages of your life, especially when you're famous, especially considering the fact that like your fame also changes over time depending on how successful you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take a different approach for each to match up to the level of success that you have, you know, acquired. You can't. I don't really get the exploitation aspect.
But you are welcome to give it up at any time and go off and be a plumber. You know what I mean? Or a carpenter, or whatever you want to be. I mean, you're welcome to stop at any time.
Yeah, you are. But I mean, if you're probably getting millions in your pocket, and you're satisfied for the most part, the likelihood of you giving it up just because of some inconveniences, you know.
Then you're saying it's greed is what keeps them there, then, isn't it?
I wouldn't go as far as to say it's greed. I think it could be greed. It's greed depending on the motivation. It's greed depending on what you do. Oh, yeah. I wouldn't say it's greed, blanket statement greed, to be honest. That's a stretch.
Yeah.
I think we can admit that it's a comfortable lifestyle. And as it's only normal that nobody want to let go of a comfortable lifestyle.
Because I hear artists saying, oh, it was awful. We were on a tour bus every day. We didn't know what time of the day or what city we were in, and in hotels every night of the week for 6 months of the year, you know, touring, and it was terrible. It was awful. And I'm going, hold on for a second. Nobody forced you to do it.
That's your job.
That's the job. That's what comes with it. And you get well paid for that.
Exactly. That part I don't really sympathize. I mean, I can understand, because it's not every time you're going to like your job. It's not every time you're going to want to work. But, you know, that's your job. I guess you have every right to complain if you want to. But it really comes down to how you're complaining and what you're complaining about. Eventually, hopefully you're, you know, taking the step forward. And
another thing that came up with that documentary, by the way, is Louis Walsh putting stories out in the press. And they spoke to both The Sun and The Mirror. About, you know, this kind of sensationalizing stories that didn't really exist. You know, it was just publicity. But that's the job. That's what happens, isn't it? When you're manufacturing a band, you want them in the paper, you make up the silliest stories, you make it sensational, you put it in, you know, Ronan did this, Keith did that yesterday, they were all in a plane crash, which they weren't. You know, these are just, that's all part of it, isn't it?
Yeah. There are things that are part of it. And that's what you got to be mentally prepared for, that you signed up for and that you walked into.
Mm.
You just have to have a better way of managing that.
Mm.
That's what makes the difference between keeping your sanity in the limelight versus not, I think.
Yeah. Well, you can manage it yourself if you want to, but you won't do as well as a publicist who has 24 hours a day to sit there and manage it. You're not going to be able to manage it while you're on tour and while you're singing on a stage and doing all that. So you have to delegate that to somebody else.
Yeah, you need and that's where obviously there's a difference between the people who are successful that you don't really hear about and people who are successful that you hear a lot about. The difference between them is just the type of teams that they have, and you need a really good team.
Well, stay there for a second, because let me go to Sharon as well. Sharon, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm great, thanks.
Good. You've been listening to Wade. And I think myself and Wade probably agree inherently on almost all of this. I mean, do you have to sacrifice your privacy? And I don't mean in your own home. I mean in the public places. You know, once you're a celebrity. No. Is that just part of it?
No, I don't agree with what most people said. I don't agree. I think you should be able to be private in a public place unless you are on your job. For example, you know, if you're an actor, you're working and somebody comes along, or if you're a singer, whatever, celebrity, you know, and you're working at the time. But if you're out in private, I mean, there are different types of personalities, and a lot of people love it and a lot of people hate it, and a lot of them they don't realize before it happens how it's going to feel, you know. And some of them might suffer, say, from ADHD or, you know, anxiety or things like that. So I think people should be respected.
So I think if a famous celebrity, you know, I'm trying to think of somebody off the top, I don't know, Ed Sheeran, is in town and he's in a restaurant and people are coming up to him in the restaurant, oh, Ed, hi, Ed, love your album, I'm a big fan, can I have a selfie, can I have a selfie, can I have a selfie? And they're all around him constantly all the time. Do you think that's wrong and unfair?
Yeah.
Why? But because they're the ones who... Ed Sheeran wouldn't be sitting in that restaurant with all that money if it wasn't for all those people.
Yeah, but he's out having a meal in his private time.
So what? He's famous.
He's out having a meal in his private time.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be able to have the meal if it wasn't for those people.
Yes, you know.
Of course he would.
No, I don't think just because you support someone's career means you're entitled to a piece of them.
Right. No, we're all autonomous beings and...
But I mean, if you want to be famous, if somebody said to me tomorrow, Niall, I can make you really famous, right? You know, I'm talking about Beatle famous, right? I would have a fair idea what that means. You know, it means that you can't go out anymore in public without having people with you to protect you, to keep an eye on you, to stop people hassling you. But you're going to have a lot of money, so you can pay those people to do that. But that's part of it. Is that not just part of being famous?
Not everybody wants to be famous. A lot of people want to be successful, but they don't necessarily want to be famous.
You can't have
fame
both. Yeah, I know. No. When you become successful in media, I'm talking about, you know, be it a musician or an actor or artist, whatever, that's what comes along with it, is fame. That's part of it.
See, I don't agree. I feel their private time is their own time.
Well, Des, you're listening to what Sharon says. Their private time is their own time, even if they're in the public place.
Yeah, no, I don't agree. I just wanted to say a couple of things. Like, the measure of the success of these people is, I'd say myself, probably Ronan Keaton made it after Boyzone, and he continued on with success, and the others kind of did their own thing. And now, all of a sudden, it's gone a bit dry for them. And they're saying, well, we don't go down, we walk down the road now, and no one really knows us, and we want to get that back. That's what I think, that some of that is what they're doing. Trying to get that fame back again. And also, when Bruce Springsteen comes over here to play and he plays to 200,000 or 300,000 fans, he stays in the Merion Hotel and he drinks in the long bar in Georgia Street, and he's never bothered. So if Ed Sheeran's going to go into a bar or a restaurant to have something to eat, he's going to be going into a place that's going to be where nobody's going to be running over to him and every couple.
Yeah,
of
but if he's walking down Grafton Street, if he's walking down Grafton Street, and people are coming up and asking for selfies, is there anything wrong with that?
He's going to have to play along with that game. Just that's part of the game.
There's
going to be a camera on him. Someone's going to have a phone out, and if he says something that he shouldn't say, it's going to come back and bite him. Like Robbie Keane, there. Remember that a few years ago, Robbie Keane went into a nightclub with a load of bouncers, and someone went over to him and. Say hello, and he pushed him away. And then Robbie Keane was given out because why would someone do that? But he's going into a nightclub where there's hundreds of people and a lot of them know him, and they might go over to say hello to him and he doesn't like that. Then don't go to that nightclub.
Is that a fair point, Sharon? You know, because he would have been Robbie Keane, of course, would have been very famous with the Irish football team at the time. No, nobody would probably walk over to him now. But at the time... he would have been very famous. I mean, like Ed Sheeran's walking down the street, Sharon, people are running up to him. Oh, Ed, I love your new album. Give us a selfie. Take it here. Can you give me an autograph? That's part of it, isn't it, Sharon?
if he's coming out of the recording studio or something, and people know he's going to be there, that's fine.
No, I'm talking about his day off. He's walking down Grafton Street.
Look, I worked on Grafton Street for 35 to 40 years. I saw many a person come through there. Do you think I went over running to them for an autograph?
I respected their privacy. Yeah, but there's a different type of celebrity nowadays for young people. There's a lot of mania about the whole thing nowadays. It's different to when you and
some
I
some of them can't have... Listen, Niall, I'll give you one example. Poor Avicii. Now, there's a documentary to watch. A beautiful young man. Beautiful young man. And it all got too much for him. He was happy making his music. That's all he wanted. But he paid a price for fame and for never being able to be left alone.
Oh, I understand. And it can go to the extreme. I get that. You know, and
he took his own life in his 30s.
Yeah, that's horrendous. And a lot of celebrities turn to drugs, by the way, as an escape. And I get that too. I understand why that can happen. But again, what I say to you is, when you go into that industry and you're being promised the sun, moon and stars, as they said Louis Walsh promised them, the sun, moon
you're
and stars.
You're still not selling your soul.
But you kind of are.
You're not selling your soul.
But it
shouldn't be like that, I don't think. Because people are people and we need to respect each other.
I'm not saying we shouldn't respect people. And you should respect celebrities when they're walking down the road. But I don't have an issue with people walking up and saying, hi to you, and can I have a selfie? That's part of your job. That has become part of your job. You're famous. Those people who are walking up to you asking for a selfie are the ones who made you famous. They're the ones who've increased your bank balance.
Well, then make time for them in a public setting.
Doesn't always work like that, Sharon.
I know. I'm just telling you how I think it should work.
Yeah, because when they do it in a public setting, a meet and greet, as they call it, should they charge astronomical money for it?
Yeah, well, that's not right either.
Yeah, well, they do. Nowadays with concert tickets, you've got the standard ticket, 130 quid, a VIP ticket, 250 quid. That just means you get closer to the stage or something like that. And then you get like a meet and greet ticket, like 500 or 600 quid, where you get backstage just get to say hello.
If I was Ed Sheeran or anyone like that, I would make lots of my time available for all of that kind of thing.
Okay, on that note, unfortunately, I've run out of time. Sharon, Wade, Dez, everybody got involved in that conversation. Thank you.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.